Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. His tiny desk entry Wildberry Pop-Tart was listed as an NPR favorite. It is a South Dakota fan favorite too. Mato Wayuhi is joining us for this week's Moment in Sound in the studio. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You're from Sioux Falls originally, but now living out in on the West Coast. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so basically all my life, I grew up in Sioux Falls and frequented, you know, different parts of the state and everything like that. And after high school, I moved out to LA to go to school at the University of Southern California. So I just finished up my sophomore year there.
So yeah. All right. So I'm looking you up on the internet this morning and doing my research, and I'm finding things from when you're like 12 years old.
Okay. Oh man, was that
must like have a been, poetry slam?
Oh yeah, rocket snot.
Yeah.
Oh
my god, good stuff though. And when you look back at things like that, you know, in some ways it's like, oh wow, that stuff lives forever now because you know, with your generation, you put something out there, it is forever. Yeah. But also, you can really see the future of that kid when you look at some of those early videos.
Yeah, that was a good time, the poetry slam and everything. And that was kind of honestly in my artistry, at least, you know, like that was kind of the genesis. That was when I started realizing, oh, I really like performing. I really like writing these things and kind of putting them to display. And that was also that poem, funny enough, was like autobiographical, like in second grade, that actually did blow a rocket song. And actually before that, So that was take two, that's on YouTube, but take one, I did that, like that little, the snot thing, and snot came out again, and it was a nightmare, but yeah, that was a good time.
Is that the first time that you really started, that experience of the poetry slam and performing and learning, did that introduce you to slam poetry, or were you already sort of living in that poetry slam, rap, spoken word world? Like when your first memories of kind of like connecting with that kind of performance?
I would say it was early in fourth grade, the first time that I was performing. So that was, wow. I was in student council and my buddy Nick Christofferson and I, shout out to Nick, we would go to our student council meetings during recess and we would come back and every student council member would have to talk to their class and say like, oh, this is what we're doing in March and blah, 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 like stuff like that. So instead of just kind of announcing that to the class, we would rap it and really poorly, but we would. So we'd get up there and just, I would beatbox and Nick would go and then I would go and then back and forth. And that was like the first moment it was cemented that I really enjoyed performing and just like rapping and just getting that stage persona of like kind of the braggadocio, but also just like the art of doing kind of poetry and everything.
So some kids that age would sort of enjoy a moment like that and then go on to be, you know, engineers or nurses or lawyers or whatever, what have you. Mm-hmm. How did that turn from something that's like, yeah, this is all right, to, yeah, I want to study this. I want to make films. I want to rap. I want to make music. How did that happen? Is that in the high school age that that's happening?
Yeah, so that was that geared towards high school. But ever since I can remember, like I've always had such an affinity and such a like fixation with art and also entertainment and performing. Like I'd love performing in any medium, whether it be sports or art or really anything. So like high school, I got that fixed through football and everything. And then I also turned to music. So I just love being able to, I heard this analogy one time that was like, there's the magician and then there's the audience. And you kind of can choose your path in terms of like, do you want to be amazed by the magician or do you want to be the magician in terms of like putting in the work and all the behind the scenes and to just see, to create joy for people. So that was like my biggest thing since I've been, you know, in fourth grade, I guess. It was like, I love bringing that joy to people or that entertainment to people. So I was trying to find any medium I could. And with music, it started definitely, I think it was like freshman or sophomore year of high school is when I really got passionate about it and said like, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing.
Right. Who are the artists who sort of help you get your start your own creative process?
One of my good friends, Mason, we started making music together back in like sophomore, junior year of high school. One of my good friends, Fuad, I remember the day I texted him, I was like, do you want to come over and make rap music? And he just said like, hell yeah. So then he just came over and we just did it.
Yeah.
And since then it's like been constant, but yeah, that, those are kind of the two buddies that we started with. We released this song called No Bad Days like 4 years ago, and it was like really jokey joke rap, so everyone loved it. Then afterwards, I was kind of like, well, I'm going to be serious about this. So then we kind of started doing more, taking it more serious. But yeah, that was kind of the two, Mason and Fua, those were kind of like the beginning pair.
All right, we're going to try a little music now. We got a backing track for you. You're going to rap live to that track. This first one is called Beeswax. Let's see how it goes. This
is Beeswax.
Mato Wayuhi.
Yeah. Big dreams stay locked, big climb, tall stock, jacked up, zoned in, alone, no kin, no friends and no hun, oh well, ho-hum, make room for beeswax, so hope I don't get stung. Big dreams stay locked, big climb, tall stock, jacked up, zoned in, alone, no kin, no friends, no hun, oh well, ho-hum, make room for beeswax, so hope I don't get stung. Boy just like Babe Ruth, he bat stuff and break booth and break bread with bombshells of all three. Reds and all hues, she grabbing my bag, yet he call me a snack. No, I am a full platter, a foolproof. Don't drip fibs on my truth. No Fitbit on my wrist, can't track stuff that I do. The steps it took and the things I lost, they don't give a crap about what it cost. They don't give a crap about all the loss. They don't give a crap about the trauma, trials, and tribulations. Get fee paid, then escape them. You cannot conceal me in the 9 to 5. I'm sorry, won't do it. Mama sending me internships. Those aren't getting pursued, and maybe I'm plaguing my future. At least I'm not plaguing myself. Can't be indebted to say. Settle down, I've been bleeding for crowns. Wipe the smirk and clean that tongue before my name you pronounce. You speaking royalty, I know your mouth ain't used to that clout. Was appointed by ancestors and shaped by nebulas. Chop it up with the universe, don't gossip with all you regulars. I got big dreams, stay locked, big climb, tall stock. Jacked up, zoned in, alone, no kin, no friends and no hun. And oh well, and ho hum, and make room for beeswax. So hope I don't get stung. Big dreams, stay locked, big climb, tall stock, jacked up, zoned in, alone, no kin, no friends and no hun, and oh well, and ho hum, and make room for beeswax, so hope I don't get stung.
It's called Beeswax.
Hey, listen, yeah. Since I was spawned, I've been destined to be there with a beyond reach and reaching for parents are lost. Streaming the suburbs, judged me on my father, picking apart my upbringing, spitting out what they thought it was to be raised in trauma. Little did all them lawyers know with them sons and daughters. Daddy was cultivating a mogul with culture, never caught up in them Caucasian concerns. And when he left, that stuff hurt. Fatherless, so I turned to the blunt and I always kept that stuff burned. Adolescence, I tended to be too attentive to people and things who never could dream and never esteemed a body of state. Embody rage, just study a page, or just engage to get out of the cage. Had to get out and embark on a mission to skip all the winners and bottom my fate. Become a slave to the vision I paved. Hey, embark on a mission. Yeah. Had to get out and embody my fate. Become a slave to the vision I paved. I said big dreams, stay locked, big climb, tall stock, jacked up, zoned in, alone, no kin, no friends and no hun, and oh well, ho-hum, make room for beeswax, so hope I don't get stung. Big dreams, stay locked, big climb, tall stock, jacked up, zoned in, alone, no kin, no friends, no hun, oh well, ho-hum, make room for beeswax, so hope I don't get stung.
We're gonna do some clapping here inside the studio. Mato Wayuhi is with us here in the studio for this week's Moments in Sound. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. Tell me, you're out in LA now.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring South Dakota with you? Obviously, you do in your art. How much of your heritage growing up here, your history, travels with you?
Yeah. Well, so I'm Oglala Lakota from the Pine Ridge Reservation, and I grew up with a lot of traditional values in my household, at least. And I was going, you know, to Pine Ridge, to Martin, Bennett County in South Dakota, at least, you know, once a month, seeing family and everything. So I think you don't really know someplace until you've left it. And that was really true for me, at least going to school and kind of looking back at my childhood and adolescence and everything and thinking like, wow, my culture is so much a part of me and like my identity and my family and everything. And it took me leaving to really realize that. So I've brought all of those ideas and those feelings of whether it be, you know, vulnerability, but also like pride and everything like that in my native culture, and also just the kind of the space in which I grew up. And now really I'm like channeling that completely. So that's what most of my music is about. Most of the short films I've been working on, that's kind of like, it's me tapping in and kind of like unpacking what my whole upbringing was. So that, I mean, Beeswax, I talk a lot about that, you know, being judged by, you know, my father. He looks like a traditional Lakota man, long hair and everything like that, and big, like 6'4". So growing up, you know, you feel the judgments, you feel everything like that. So I was raised in kind of that environment to a certain extent. So that's kind of me navigating all of those ideas and those feelings and everything.
Is it hard to keep that with you? Is that natural to you? And it's so, you know, ingrained in who you are? Or do you get out to a different environment and different culture and start losing pieces of yourself?
Yeah, that's a good question. Actually, so like I'd say last year, a lot of the music and the art I was making was kind of, you know, there's like, anyone that's on the West Coast or East Coast or really anywhere, you know that there are bubbles in those places. So LA is the, you know, like the sunshine, the good vibes, you know, that's so dope, that kind of bubble. And so I was falling into that, and I was making kind of music that was just not even like, I was inspired by it, but it was also like tailoring to that audience.
Right.
And I was kind of, it wasn't the truest form that I could be in. And I realized, well, I have the uniqueness of my art is where I'm from and where I was raised. You know, there's not a lot of people who can tap into those, that culture, that anything like that. So once I kind of made that realization, I was thinking, oh, well, let me just completely devote myself to that, like representing my culture, where I'm from, you know, everything.
You hear that, you know, from, you know, everything from college recruiters to artists, or, you know, artists and agents representing artists. They just want you to be yourself, be yourself. Yeah. And that's so hard to grasp when you're a young adult, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what does that even mean yet? Yeah.
Because you always have your eye on, I want to be there, I want to be that person and things, and you don't really appreciate what you are, or the lineage that you come from, you know? And yeah. I think that, yeah, that's a huge stepping stone, I feel like, in a lot of, kind of what you said, you know, a lot of young adults' life. And yeah, once you, find that, or at least find comfort in it and refuge, then the art can really start to evolve.
Did you have a period of time where you wanted to fit in with, you know, when you mentioned like you're, you know, being with your dad and he sort of stands out, was there a time that you wanted to reject that and sort of be someone that you were not, or was that always just?
100%. I mean, that like, yeah, that was a lot of childhood, I'd say less in adolescence, but childhood, that was a lot of what I was dealing with in terms of kind of stomaching what my culture was and what I made of it, in terms of I was assimilating to the best of my abilities in like elementary school and middle school. And, you know, back then I couldn't even articulate what I was trying to do, but I realize now that that's what that was. You know, I was trying to assimilate to mainstream society or what was kind of cool or anything like that. So, and being biracial as well, that was, it was always kind of, there's an otherness in terms of not, you don't feel fully connected with either side. So that was something I was kind of playing with all my life. And now, kind of what I said earlier, being able to articulate that has been really helpful. And, you know, you go to a place like Los Angeles where there's a lot more intersectionalities in terms of cultures and everything like that. So I've been able to find some good friends and networks where there you find a lot of people that are of different, and you know, here too, you know, once you start looking and trying to find that, finding those people with different identities and kind of personalities and everything, it's it's a really special opportunity. So, but back then, yeah, I was definitely trying to find any other calling as opposed to my culture.
And that word assimilate shows up in some of your lyrics, the resistance to assimilation. That's an important part of the lyrics as well. Mm-hmm. Let's do another song. How about Blossom? Should we start?
Let's do it, Blossom.
Start there? All right. You're listening to Mato Wayuhi. Yeah.
That ain't the move. Find all the people that up you to groove. Whose skin is so smooth, whose job is to soothe. You're proud of my sound, baby, I'm proud of you too. You are so down, well you know I am too. Been quite a while since I was roaming. The ghost of the home in my town is all staying the same. Except you and your colors are growing our lanes. So beautiful when you blossom.
Hey.
And it's okay if you change. Oh. Woo. Oh, you can change. Oh, you can change if you don't want to stay the same. Oh, oh. Oh, hey, just gotta blossom. And I had a nightmare that you stayed the same. Oh, banking on fools, no, that ain't the move. Who would want company that don't accompany each of your dreams? Don't mess with family who don't just comfort your schemes. I've been away, dodging disaster decay, causing a gap with the travels I tuck in the day. Woo! Tuck in the day. If you still mess with the man and his plans, give you the praise in advance. Raising the spirit, igniting the engine, exhausting the cost of attendance and friendships. But boy, I do blossom. And it's okay if you change, oh, hey. You can change. Whoa, oh, oh, yeah. It's okay if you change. Really wanna stomp all the problems. Headstrong, never crazed, but angst is hanged and chained for change. Spare time, I visit his grave. Eyes well for a wish that he stayed the same. Funny laugh, good grades. Honey's bastard is gaze. Time did as it does. We all prayed it was a phase. Caught a glimpse of the scars on his black neck. Thought it was a fib, had to fact check. I saw him look dim at the health center. I was scheduled to put on a play about growing the strength to defeat all the demons that plagued. Moral was never to stay all the same. He watched from the crowd, peeking discreet. I spoke on my rhetoric right to his seat, screaming and asking and pleading to never repeat. Hoping that he'd change. Threw a deuce to him. After my rage, he smiled bright in exchange. 7 months, 7 months, now I'm looking at his grave. Looking at his grave. I wish that you stayed the same. Stayed the same. Had flowers, but I tossed them. They were just too blossomed.
Thank you for that. We've got more with Matu Wayuhi in just a moment. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Moment in Sound on SDPB Radio.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You're listening to Moment in Sound today. We have Matu Wayuhi with us here in the studio. And Matu, give us a little bit about where you're performing in. Are you performing while you're in town?
Yeah, I have a few performances. I have one July 10th at Total Drag with my buddy Jake. Jake's a great guy. He's doing his album release during that show, and I'm helping him out with that. So yeah, I'll be doing a full set and everything. And there's one more performance that's, I don't know if I can say yet, but okay. That'll be later in the summer.
Where can people follow you to find out? Are you on Twitter or Facebook, or how do people keep track of your career?
I'm on all the social medias. Find me at Matu Wayuhi. That's MatoWayuhi. If you type in Matu, it might come up. I'm on the Spotify's and the iTunes and the YouTubes. Yeah, check me out.
We'll put a link up on our website too, listen.sdpb.org. So if anybody forgets that or they're driving in their car, they'll find us and we'll help them find you. What's it like coming home and performing after performing out in LA and studying out in LA and, you know, just coming back and having a moment to maybe breathe a little bit more?
Yeah. Well, I don't do a lot of breathing. okay. Once I'm back, it's like, so this is kind of how I think about it. I compartmentalize it. So it's like school is school. I try to stay as attentive to that, you know, but anyone who does art, they'll know that like, oh, I want to do that now. And you kind of gravitate to it immediately, or like things are always shifting. So when I'm in school, I'm trying just to be in school. But when I'm here, it's like straight music. And John can attest to that, my buddy John. He I'll always text him and call him with random ideas I always have. Like, hey, can we do that? Can we do this? And he's like, oh yeah, sure. So, but yeah, it's really great. I mean, I love performing in both spaces, honestly. And it's great to see, like, last winter break, I did two performances. I did one, it was like a Later Babes Christmas party, so I opened for them, and that was really fun. And then we had a second show right after Christmas that a couple buddies and I just kind of threw together. It was like a DIY show, and that was so fun, seeing all of, you know, older friends, high school friends and everything coming together and all playing, like, just all enjoying the music. And that was a really beautiful night, you know. Yeah. So I really love performing in both spaces. LA, there's different vibrations as opposed to Sioux Falls, but both had some of the best audiences I've ever performed for.
All right, so we're going to bring really John special. Into the conversation. We'll put him on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, introduce yourself, John.
Hi, I'm John Gregg. Good friends with Matu now. Been working together for just over a year.
Yeah.
But what's the music scene like in Sioux Falls right now?
Oh, it's John might know live. It is. Everybody's doing something from every single like niche scene. I know some guys that I work with, Rospitas, they're doing interesting things right now. I know, like you said, Jacob's doing his release show. Unfortunately, I think I'm working that night.
What is the community need for music next to sort of push it forward as a music scene? What's missing that you'd like? Is it more venues, more artists, more attention?
Well, I think there needs to be a much stronger representation of color, as well as strong, you know, female artists. And I think there are, and I've met many out there, and I just don't know if it's the networking that isn't kind of up to speed, or if it's not, there's not enough outreach on both parties. But yeah, I think venues need to be searching for more diverse representations, more people of color, more, just, you know, make it a diverse group. I'm seeing some of these posters around town and things like that, and I'm not seeing a lot of diversity in any range, and it's like disheartening because I know people are out there, I know there's that talent, and I just think that needs to be channeled more often. And I think it is, and I think in any type of society right now, I think there's, with the Me Too movement and kind of everything, there's structural change, and it's going forward, and we're making progress. And I see it here, I see it in LA, I really see it anywhere you go, and I just think that needs to be pushed more. And that needs to be really heavily, I'd say, prioritized, you know. Yeah. Because I think once you start that, and that's my biggest thing with art and even my what I do is in both in film and music, I'm trying to just in the least show representation of Native culture. You know, you don't have to agree with me. You don't even have to like my music or anything. But as long as that is seen, that avenue, you know, I have kids from the res hit me up all the time and they're like, you're like doing it. I'm like, that's the best thing I can ask for is just representing culture to the fullest of my ability. And so to bounce off that is just any artists of color, any people, any like variation is good for the art itself, you know, because you can, there's someone in the crowd or someone in the audience that sees that and they say, oh, I can do that. Or I feel those same things, you know? So yeah, I guess.
Just are you more okay diversity. Playing that role to kids?
Yeah. And yeah. I'm releasing some more music in the summer. It's actually a whole album that kind of dissects what that means to me, representing culture. Because as I said earlier in the broadcast that being biracial, it was a tough place to navigate in terms of what that meant, my culture to me, you know? And but now I'm at this part, at this moment in my life where it's no matter what, it's just representing, just showing that where I'm from and showing the beauty and the pride of my culture itself. So I think I'm more so okay with it than I ever have been. So,
yeah. John, how did you two meet?
I know we had some classes together. I think we had like physics, but I think
I didn't take physics.
Oh, maybe not then.
It all blurs together.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what high school is, yeah.
I know he sent me a message on Twitter last summer, and then it kind of snowballed from there. Like we went and met up and had coffee and bounced around ideas, and I think that was really the beginning. Yeah. Of how we actually met and like got to know each other.
So Mata, how much of your, you know, your writing and your creating, whether it's in music or in film, is a collaborative thing where you're kind of meeting each other for coffee or hanging out together, talking with other artists, friends, whomever, and how much is just you in a space completely by yourself figuring out what you want to say?
That's a good question. I would say it depends on the project itself in terms of how, I guess, intrinsically motivated it is. So with this album I'm working on right now, it's really just a dissection of kind of my upbringing and my lineage. So I can share that with people and I can collaborate to that with different people. But at the end of the day, the project is only going to be as like kind of all-encompassing as I'm willing to go myself personally. So I really have to dig into those emotions and everything like that, and I can't really ask, you know, other people. I can't outsource for that. But in terms of like, so I'm directing a short film in August, and my good buddies Wes and Isaac, who I'm doing work for this summer, I shared them the script and they were 100% devoted to it. They're like, okay, let's do it. And they're really talented cinematographers and they've done a lot of different stuff around town. They're like, well, Wes is in Soul Crate, as is Isaac. So like, they're very talented people. They've been on the scene for, I feel like, 1,000 years. Like, they've really kind of solidified like rap in South Dakota, which is really dope. And, but they were like really connected to the script and they wanted to help me produce it and direct it and everything. So It kind of depends. I think music has always been a little more personal with me because I think it's a literal projection of what I'm thinking, like in my voice and everything. But with film, there's more nuances. There's more moving parts. You know, John and I were doing so much filming last summer and I'm not going to film myself or anything like that. So that's when kind of collaboration comes in terms of, and I love like, as a director, I love working with actors and other players, you know, and on the crew. I'm not ever gonna compromise someone's feelings for mine, you know, because I always want everyone to come into a space and have the best of time and get to like kind of, I don't know, articulate what they want to articulate. So working with actors and everything. So in terms of film, I guess it's a little more of a collaborative than music, but again, it kind of depends.
Yeah. Do you see that South Dakota is a place to film movies? Is the landscape sort of, you know, ripe for that, for more stories from South Dakota? Or do you see yourself taking your filmmaking to, you know, other places that don't necessarily fit the box of your hometown?
It's funny. Remember we went and saw The Rider a few weeks ago? Yeah. And I was saying, like, this did so well. I mean, it's a good film overall. And the filmmaker, Chloe Zhao, I have my gripes with her, you know, back and forth. There's a interesting conversation about her out in the mediums. But anyway, the film itself shows these like wondrous, like beautiful shots of rolling thunder and everything in these sunsets. And I think so that film did really well on like in film circuits and everything like that. And I was talking with a couple buddies, including John, who went to the show with me. And I was like, that was a really good film, but it's not as startling to us because we're from here. Right. Like we're seeing that constantly, those sunsets and those sunrises and everything. And I realized like, oh, that has to be channeled more. Cause like now what's happening is people are coming into these beautiful, you know, pastures and these beautiful plains, and they're taking the photos and taking the videos, and then they're going to these film festivals with this substance. I'm thinking like, wow, why are we not doing that ourselves? You know, we have to start showing the beauties of the state and its people and its geography and everything.
Everyone in the crowd's like, oh, never seen that. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, we see that every day.
Yeah, no. Backyard. Yeah, it was like, so I was like, this is cool, but why is there 30 minutes of a sunset? And I'm thinking like, oh, well, some guy in Detroit, some film critic has never seen stuff like that before. And he thinks this is like, yeah, some special effects, but no, that's just the... It's just
what
the
art.
Natural beauty. Yeah. I know, right?
All right, my guest, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to SDPB Radio, my guest, Bata Wayuhi, and he's here for Moment in Sound, so we've got one more number here, Stone Cold Lover.
Stone Cold Lover. This is off the forthcoming album. This is a brand new song. I don't know if anyone has heard this besides myself. This. Yeah. So this is called Stone Cold Lover. Hope you enjoy.
Howdy do, I am a stone cold lover, I love you. Forget you, I am a stone cold killer too. Woo! Friday, tell you what, let's break some whole grain before I take your whole brain and bash it, smash it, and remake the frame. Don't wanna make you feel like any type of way, so stop running, cause you won't get away. Half of me wants to give it all up to you. Half of me saying, psh, you can miss me with that. I'm speaking truth. What do I do? Oh, just a stone cold lover. I love you. Forget you, I am a stone cold killer too. Stone cold killer too. Hey, just a stone cold lover. I love you. Forget you, I am a stone cold killer too. Stone cold killer too. Hey, stone cold. Stone cold. Yeah, been building up the barriers to keep me sane. And they would all fall if someone would claim on that Lone Star status, that cowboy fabric. Be killing all the Indian in me, I can't stand it, I love it. Trustin', you was like Pharrell just frontin'. Fibbin' for affection, never been about the function. If it's fiction, might mess around and stop your breathing before you take my breath away. So misleading, don't wanna be judged on my doing. Judges steady construing, constructing my ruin with the shade. They tossin' a crew and wonder what they say when I do pop, claim the stage and rock pavement, make it shake, quake the shackles off. Mata, why you heed the name is so sacred, so treat it as treaties and never do break it. Break it, crack it, crack it. This is Mata, why you heed. On SDPB. I love you all. Thank you for listening. This is called Stone Cold Lover. Please enjoy the rest. I am a stone cold lover. I love you. But forget you, I am a stone cold killer too. Stone cold killer too. Just a stone cold lover. I love you. Forget you, I am a stone cold killer too. Stone cold killer too. Hey. I said stone cold. Stone.
Go. This is just for you to groove to. Don't really have lyrics to it, but hey.
Oh, I am a stone cold, I am a stone cold, I am a stone cold lover. Woo! say, ay. What you see is what you get, not trying to seem like a threat, but you treat me as such, even made me a bed, so I'll rest. Yes, I am a stone cold lover.
South Dakota Public Broadcasting with Lori, with John in the studio. Yeah, oh, I am a stone-cold lover.
Thank you.
Mato, thank you. You are... Can I say you're my favorite?
Oh.
I
just
said it. Yeah. You're my favorite.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. We appreciate you being here, John. Thanks for being here as well.
Absolutely.